Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. Got to put my
hands up in the air. Ned, right now you've got a story about an animal that is obsessed with something.
Exactly. And it's an aggressive animal as well.
Is it an iguana that's obsessed? No, is it a Komodo dragon that's obsessed with stamp collecting?
No. That would be insane.
They got a tongue. They can lick the stamps.
That's true, but I don't think they know what stamps are. And also, stamps don't taste nice. So that'd be a weird thing for them to get into.
Admittedly, you're right.
It's goats. It's mountain goats, the humble mountain goats.
They're not that aggressive, are they?
Well, yes, apparently, yes, they are.
They run people in with their horns and stuff, I guess.
That's it. And they are becoming more and more aggressive because, for whatever reason, just because of, like, hikers and stuff in this national, this Olympic park in America, like, hikers and stuff are... Obviously, it's hard to go to the toilet when you're halfway up a mountain. So they're having to relieve themselves on this mountain. Fine. It's all nature. Who really cares?
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
It's a small thing, yep. But you just said Olympic Park. Did you mean to say National Park?
No, it says Olympic Park, it says Washington's Olympic National Park.
Oh, so it is a national park called the Olympic. Because yeah. I'm thinking stadiums and stuff.
No.
Why are there goats around the stadiums?
I have no idea.
Okay, good.
No. But it's called like the Olympic Park. And so it's very, it's a national park.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. I understand. So hikers are relieving themselves on the mountains.
Hikers are taking a wee on the mountain. Obviously, that's fine. Who cares? They're also sweating quite a bit. And because there's salts and minerals in both those things, the goats are going, oh my God, this is amazing.
Oh,
where is
gross.
This coming from? This is incredible. And so now the goats have realized where it's coming from, getting aggressive because these humans aren't producing enough minerals for them. And they're like, well, give us more. And so the national park has decided to make an example out of the two most aggressive goats and has airlifted them out of the park and taken them elsewhere and has fitted the rest of them with GPSs. So if like someone's like, I'm going on a hike, be like, don't go up this mountain. There's a ton of goats and they're going to mug you for your work.
Oh my God.
They're going to be like, wee for us. We know you've got it in you.
They're treating us like human slushy machines.
That's it. And they're becoming aggressive about it. But they've taken the two or three most aggressive ones, moved them, and now they're going.
Where have they gone?
Huh? They've gone to like another part of the national park. They've like put them off. They've put them somewhere around like forests and stuff like that. But that was like,
this is the most bizarre story I think I've heard all year.
Yeah. So the park's saying, hey, don't stop weeing everywhere because it's making these goats aggressive. And they're also going like, don't worry, we'll move some of the goats. We'll try and break this herd up. It's like when you're in class and they're like, all right, you're going to sit at the front of the class because you keep distracting everyone. It's kind of like that with goats.
It's exactly like that.
Yep.
It's like, you guys are the troublemakers. All right, well, we'll just remove you from the situation and everything will be fine.
But instead of like packing up your books and stuff like that and your bag and moving to the front, you're being picked up by a helicopter and taken away.
You know, that's just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, national parks have toilets in them as well.
Yeah.
The real nightmare scenario would obviously be the goats discovering them.
Well, obviously, it's cornucopia.
With like a trough type set up in the male toilets.
Yeah, exactly.
They just see that as an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Exactly.
It's like a bain marie. Yeah.
It's like one of those like fish bowls you get when you pay like $30 and they just pour a bunch of alcohol and you're like, oh, this is really, really nice.
Honestly,
and stuff like that. Just a massive trough of that.
The goats would see the urinal cakes as almost like a delicacy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this has got a bit of a different flavour to it, but obviously the staple of what we enjoy is all the way through this urinal cake as well. But
yeah, of course.
It's just got a little bit of a nice scent to it.
Well, maybe that's what we should be putting scientists to figure out. Do goats like mint? Because if they like mint, then we're in a lot of trouble because they're going to start eating those little cakes. This whole thing
is
just a bad...
What is wrong with goats? And P.S., other animals pee as well. Why is it our pee that's so special?
I have no idea.
You know what? I'm glad the goats were airlifted out. That's good. Hopefully this all stops so I never have to think about this again.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Ned. Right now, you are on a mission to get everybody amped and excited for the return, in your mind, the fashion full circle that will be the Dunlop Volley coming back into fashion.
That's right. The Dunlop Volley, because it's so funny. When I used to wear Dunlop Volleys in like 2007, I remember my nan saw them. I was like, oh, I remember Dunlop Volleys. And I was like, this is it. They've been around since my nan came, like it was in her teens, they've been around forever. And they go away for 10 years and they come back. And they go away and they come back.
They're a humble shoe.
Yeah.
And they're a staple. I'm not saying any of that's incorrect. I'm saying this isn't like a weather system. There's not a cycle of them being fashionable and then going away again.
Well,
I think for whatever reason, they were retro about 10 years ago. Yeah. And then that's it. That's it.
They're expanding stores. to Asia. They're opening 50 stores as soon as possible. So I'm saying this is the beginning of volleys coming back.
And I am now disagreeing with you to the point where you have put the call out. 131060 is the number. If you're a volley vindicator, if you're somebody who believes in the fashion staple that is the Dunlop volley, it's going to come back into fashion. If you own some right now and you're still rocking them, give us a call. 131060. We've got Tynan on the line from Western Creek. How are you?
Yeah, good boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you, mate. Now, what's your deal with Dunlop volleys?
Well, I still have 3 pairs of Dunlop volleys.
Fantastic.
Well, here we go. Thing,
so you are a vindicator.
You said I still have them. Are they from like when they were popular like 10 years ago?
I've got one pair that's a bit old and should be thrown out, but I still wear them around the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I have a new pair of the blue and white ones. I buy them probably once every couple of months because I wear them 2 to 3 times a week for indoor cricket.
Brilliant.
There you go. Yep.
Well, they're a sporting shoe. You've got an around the house volley and a going out volley.
Here's the question, Tiny. Do you have tiles in your house?
Yeah, I have tiles in my house.
So you are gripping to those tiles like you would not believe in your Dunlop volleys. Not falling over. That's for sure.
I like this. And this is the thing, Tiny. So essentially for you, it's never gone away. It's always, you've been a stronghold volleys fan.
I love the volleys.
Love the volleys. Good. Right, there we go.
Well done.
Still no confirmation as to whether or not they're going to become fashionable, like you said.
Well, Tynan's hoping so, because hopefully they become... Well, maybe it doesn't, because they either become cheaper or they can become more expensive.
More expensive. I think if they're opening novelty stores, I think you're looking at them becoming a bit of a niche item.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, then Tynan's probably not stoked at all.
Wouldn't imagine. He's still got the pairs, though. He's happy with that.
He's got vintage
Nathan's
pairs.
On the line from Fishwick. How's it going, Nathan?
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank
really,
you.
Really, Nathan.
Now, how many pairs of Dunlop volleys do you own, if you own any?
I've actually got 10 pairs.
Really? I would not believe that, but I mean, why would you make that up? So, why do you have 10 pairs of Dunlop volleys?
Because I'm constantly running around on roofs and ceilings and whatnot, and they're the best pair of shoes to be wearing on ceilings.
Oh, so are you a roofer?
No, I'm actually...
A chimney sweep.
He's the Pied Piper. Yeah, what do you mean?
He's on roofs all the time.
I know. Of course he's on.
We said no. He's not a roofer. What are you doing on the roofs all the time, Nathan?
I'm an insulation.
Oh, there we go. Fantastic.
Yeah. Assumingly, he's working on roofs. He's not like some kind of like ghetto Spider-Man just running around the Fishwick.
Yeah, it was a dumb question, Nathan. I apologize. But look, the thing is, you getting them for their grippiness. You still, no one has said they think they're fashionable. Would you rock them down?
I totally believe that they come back.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the thing, Nathan. Would you wear these out on a Saturday night?
All I do, mate. They're the only pair of joggers I'll put on my feet.
That's the thing.
So you wear them on a Saturday night, you wear them at work, you wear them around the house. When do you not wear a Dunlop volley? You know what? I'm going to go buy one today.
Okay, fine.
It's the best investment you could make. It's a shoe that'll last 10 years.
Just ask Nathan for one of his 10 pairs that he's got he walks up the side of buildings with their grippiness. You know what? I'm still not going to say you're right.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm willing to concede that maybe you're not wrong, okay?
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer, mej.com.au.
Josh, I've seen potentially the best thing to hit the streets of Australia ever.
Really?
Right? And when I say hitting the streets, I legitimately mean on the streets, all right? It's happening in WA, but I'm thinking because we're a very progressive territory, I feel like it may come to the ACT very soon.
Soon, yeah.
What it is, it's an ATM, all right? And I know you're thinking, that's not that innovative, all right? That's not that impressive at all. There's a lot of ATMs around. But this ATM specializes solely in distributing pizzas to people.
Ugh.
You go up there, you press what you want, you press your pizza toppings, all that kind of stuff, and then 3 minutes later, out pops a pizza. And it's like a little pizza pocket one. Obviously not a big, like full-size family pizza. It's just like a little one that you can have to yourself.
You know Cotton on the Gold Coast? Cotton On in Surfers Paradise has a vending machine full of thongs. You can buy thongs.
Yes, I've seen that.
And I thought that was where vending machine technology peaked.
Yeah.
But this is now where vending machine technology has peaked.
It's weird because usually when you put money into an ATM, it's like, oh, cool, that's going into your account now. That's done. But this is like you put money into an ATM and you get pizza instead. It just defies all kind of... Because it's not a vending machine per se. It's like actually like an ATM.
You know what the best part about this is? This is almost better than getting money. Like, it's better than an ATM.
Well, because, here's the thing. It's good because you're like, oh, savings and putting money into your account, having like an account to rely on. That's good and everything. But you never see that money. You're like, I'm holding $100. I put it into this machine and then it's gone. And then I see a little number that says 100. How underwhelming is that? Imagine going $3, putting something in and getting a pizza and going, oh my God.
That is just...
You could do it so many times.
Can I ask you a quick question? So when I was a kid, I used to think there were tiny people in an ATM and they would hand money. Like, because that's how your brain works when you're a child.
That's how your brain works.
You see movies and stuff and you think that there is like... Where do you think
these little people lived? In the machine as well?
In the machine, yeah. It's kind of like that that thing where, like, you know, they pin the giant down. I forget what story that is.
Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Just like a whole civilization that lives in the ATM that just gives me money. That's what I thought was happening.
Yeah.
Right? How is that not what's happening with the pizza?
Well, because
how does the machine know how to cook pizza?
Yeah.
Is this like a hole in the wall that's designed to look like an ATM, but behind it's actually a restaurant and there's just a bunch of people?
No, there's just a pizza machine.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. How are you this confused by how it would work? It just drops the toppings on and then just cooks it and then just shoots it out.
It's just amazing.
I mean, it kind of...
It just makes me so happy that there are people out there working on stuff like this.
Well, because this isn't even a scientist. This is just a pizza enthusiast.
What a joyous occupation that would be.
Yeah, I know.
On a pizza machine.
That's it. Imagine at the end of the day going, I created a pizza ATM and now I can go home and tell my kids that. That would be the most...
Honestly, the guy who made the polio vaccine probably, guy or girl, actually, I don't know who made it, but like they were probably like, you know what, I've done pretty well here.
Yep.
It's no pizza ATM though, is it? I mean, honestly, in terms of your kids being excited, would you prefer a vaccine you don't really understand when you're a kid?
Yeah.
Or machine that makes pizza.
I'm glad we have both.
But if I had to pick, look, it'd be an interesting discussion.
Wowee.
Okay. I'd pick the vaccine.
I don't think you would.
I want a pizza machine. Can we get one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Cool. Let's use the station's money. Fantastic.
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
We're giving you the chance to witness some psychic ability right now. You can witness some psychic behaviour in action. Mm-hmm. All that needs to happen is you get on the phone 13 10 60 and describe your tattoo to us. We will tell you where it is on your body. It's all thanks to tatsontatsoff.com, not your average tattoo studio. Your chance to win a $100 Tats on Tats Off voucher just for taking part in the tattoo game this morning.
Last week, I don't know if you remember, but we had special guest Jared Spud on this show.
Yes, we did.
He guessed correct. I guessed correct. So, I mean, the responsibility is really falling into your lap
this week. But as we described last week, Jared is a very heavily tattooed man. So
he was going off experience, not
psychic ability. Yeah. So,
but he still guessed correct.
Got Amanda on the line right now from Casey. How are you, Amanda?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. All right, Amanda. Well, let's have a quick description of your tattoo and then from there we'll see if we get any psychic feelings.
Okay, so I have my children's birth flowers on me. Okay.
Birth flowers, right, like a lotus. I know someone who had a lotus tattooed on them.
Kind of. So each month of the year has a flower.
Yeah. What's December? Do you know what December is, Amanda?
No, I don't. I don't have any Christmas babies.
Oh, wait a minute. Amanda, you've just won a $100 voucher to Tats on Tats Off. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Amanda.
The machine just randomly spits out the sound effects.
There you go.
So well done. I do have a psychic feeling.
Good.
I have a feeling, Amanda, that this tattoo is on your wrist and then goes up your arm.
Oh, not exactly.
Oh, that's disappointing to hear the not exactly. No, don't give us the answer in case Ned wants to have a guess.
I feel like this is very confusing, though, because, like, not exactly as in it's on your ribs because that's kind of where your arm sits, or, like, on your upper arm. I'm going to say upper arm.
Is it on your upper arm?
No. So you're half right.
Okay.
It's on my left hand rib cage, and it goes down all the way onto the top of my thigh.
That's so what I initially thought was correct.
So you are half right.
Yeah.
So
damn it.
Going down as up.
Honestly, and you know what? I've learned a lesson this morning because when Ned originally said it was, oh, well, your hand's near your breath. I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. But yes, no, Ned actually, Ned was on the money. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you very much for the call, Amanda. Very nice tattoo. We've got Joe on the line right now from Queanbeyan. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
That's brilliant, good to hear, mate. All right, let's get a description of your tattoo, please.
I have Pac-Man going waka waka.
Okay.
Is he saying waka waka?
Yep.
Very good. Much like Fozzie Bear from The Muppets. They both said that.
Is this Joe?
No, don't worry, Joe.
Is this on one of your pectoral areas, like one of your pecs?
No.
Okay.
Joe, is this on the back of your leg?
No.
Damn it.
Right, okay.
Joe, where is this tattoo?
It's on my pinky.
Right, oh, very small then. How's it saying? Is the Waka Waka as big as the Pac-Man?
Yeah, much part of it.
Yeah, right. Okay, I thought it was like a little speech bubble or something, but that makes a lot of sense, Joe. Well done.
Thank you very much for the call,
very
Joe.
Cool tattoo, Joe. Yeah, very good.
Apart from Amanda getting the $100 voucher to Tats on Tats Off, what a waste of time this has been this morning.
Dismal failure.
Couple of incorrect guesses there. Look, let's all just write this up as practice. Yeah. The psychic ability is not in question. This was just practice.
Hit 104.7, Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Josh, I had a chat to my little cousin the other day because I missed her birthday, and she was saying she's pretty upset because she broke her toe just before she had like a rock concert thing she was going to do, a dance thing, and the doctor was like, you can't dance, sorry. And so she's been working for this thing for like months and months and months, and now they're like, unfortunately, it's going to be a no from us.
You shall not be the lord of the dance.
No, there'll be no dancing for you, unfortunately.
You shall be the lord of stage managing, so she's going to be doing a bit of that.
Exactly. So she's kind of stoked on that, but at the same time, she's pretty disappointed.
She wanted to dance.
I would love to hear stories this morning. Well, I wouldn't love to hear them because it's probably kind of sad, but I would like to hear stories this morning about when did you fall sick or when did you get injured before an event?
Yes.
Meaning you either couldn't go or something horrible happened because of it.
We've got Ruby on the line right now from Belconnen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Very
thank
well,
you.
Thank
now,
you.
What was your event? What happened? What was the thing you missed out on?
I'm always a person this happens to. So the day before my graduation, I got food poisoning.
That's not good.
Okay,
I convinced myself I was fine to go. Everybody was telling me not to. Don't go. It's going to be horrible. I was like, no, it's fine, it's fine. Went, vomited everywhere and made the biggest fool of myself.
Are you saying, did you vomit like on stage or was it just
No,
you're kidding.
That's so gross.
Oh my God.
You could blame that kind of on nervousness.
Yeah, you'd be like, I was just so emotional that I graduated that I vomited.
Oh my. I don't know if we should give you this graduation anymore.
I am so sorry to hear that. Although having said that, no one from your class will ever forget you.
Ruby's
the one that vomited at graduation. Yeah. Zach's on the line from Franklin. How are you, mate?
Good, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. What was your event that you missed out on?
So I've been swimming training for my whole life, final year of school. You know how at every school carnival you have your champion boy and champion girl swimmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was always these two guys that were better than me. Mm. I always came third. It was the final year of school and they transferred school, so all the stars had aligned and it was my time.
Yeah. Oh, Zach.
Here we go.
My collarbone.
Oh, and you can't, you really can't swim without a collarbone.
The worst part was the bloke that won it was an absolute lemon.
The stars aligned for him. He was like,
out of nowhere.
He really Stephen Bradbury that situation. He won that carnival that year. Oh, Zach, man, that's so terrible. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Ned, I have seen an article this morning that has confused me. Honestly, it's confused me. It is about Australian international superstar Chris Hemsworth.
Brilliant.
Thor himself.
Yep.
He has a net worth, apparently, we've done some Googling during the, apparently, of $90 million.
Anywhere between 60 and 90.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. That is so much money.
It's an amount of money I know I'll never earn in my lifetime.
No.
And the thing here is, right, he's earned it. He's had a very, very long career. He was on Home and Away, got through to Hollywood, had some big breaks, obviously got pretty lucky with the Thor thing, but he knocks it out of the park. He's a great Thor.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like he's just fluked that. He's a really good actor.
Yeah, he is.
So, look, here's the thing. He has said in a GQ interview that apparently he feels gross about his worth. Like he said, he feels gross.
Like how much money he's got.
Yeah,
because I was going to say, it's a sickening amount of money.
He didn't get raised with that kind of money, obviously.
Right.
You know, and he's
worried about his kids.
He's worried about his kids. He's saying that, you know, they're going to be a bit confused because they've got some pretty good stuff happening in their lives. Both their parents are famous. And he sort of said he wants to have the kids to have a very normal upbringing.
Well, that's the thing. And that's what sucks about this is you want to buy the best stuff for your kids. You want to be like, I know my kids are going to love it if I get them this. But I also don't want them to think that this is the norm when it very much is.
Yeah.
And you know what the weirdest thing is? It's not like his parents are both famous in Australia. Like, their mum, Isla, whatever her name is, she is super duper duper famous in Spain. Like, she's a mega star in Spain.
Is she really? Chris Hemsworth's mum?
Yeah. No. His wife.
Oh, his
like
wife.
Like, their mum.
Oh,
so,
their mum.
So they're like...
Think Chris Hemsworth's mum?
No, that would be
from
insane.
From Phillip Island in Victoria. I'm like, why is she famous in Spain?
No, his wife. His wife. So even if they want to go like, oh, let's go see where mum's from.
In Europe,
And they go to Spain. Everyone is going to know who she is there as well.
Right. Okay.
That would be so weird to have two parents that are incredibly famous in different ends of the world.
Yeah. Although, I'd say Chris Hemsworth's pretty famous in Spain as well.
You reckon?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's an Avenger.
That's true.
Yeah. Here's the thing. All right. And look, I get where Chris is coming from, but as somebody who does not have $90 million,
yeah.
I'd like to say actions and words are two different things, because at the moment they're building a house in Byron Bay that local Byron Bay residents have referred to as Bunnings Warehouse-esque.
It's huge.
You take a look at the helicopter shots of their new house.
Yep.
It looks like a shopping center.
I just don't, like, maybe this is the thing. He's like, I don't want my kids to be spoiled. So I'm going to buy a house that's so big that I probably won't see them for years. I could send them to one wing.
I don't realize they have a famous dad, because I'll never be seen in the same house. You know what the thing here is, though?
Yeah.
This is why I would never, ever, ever hold this against Chris Hemsworth, because you can still feel bad about it and want your kids to have a normal upbringing, but you've also earned it. So why shouldn't you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Those two things can exist in the same human.
Yeah,
I think they're just, you're constantly doing battle with yourself then, aren't you?
That's it. You buy your kids like this really crappy house and they live there, and then you live in your massive mansion,
honestly,
and drop around every night and go, how's it going, guys? Enjoying
mum and dad have earned this, not you guys. So you get to stay in the two-bedroom house down the road. Yeah. We're going to stay in the Bunnings warehouse we've built for ourselves.
Kiss 104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Hey, you know what, Ned?
Mm.
You were going to tell me how my working week's getting better, and I want to hear about that right now.
Okay, in New Zealand, there is a firm that's done this thing as a trial, all right? This law firm. It's done it as a trial to see what would go on. They're just experimenting a little bit to see if it would work, and what they're experimenting with is working a four-day week instead of for the five days.
Yeah.
Doesn't really say if you want to take your Monday off or your Friday off. I feel like you take your Monday off, because I like working on Fridays. Everyone's kind of excited, and sometimes people like work drinks and you're like, yeah, let's do it.
So honestly, it would be like this week every week. It'd be like the week we've just had, unless you had to work Monday, in which case, sorry.
Exactly.
But if you had Monday off,
yeah,
that would be like this week every week.
And so they have been trialing this, the four-day week, and apparently nothing changed. Like, there
productivity was.
Yeah. Well, no, productivity kind of went up, but like,
oh,
nothing.
My God.
Because like, people were like, oh, I've only got to work for four days. They still pay you for the 5 days. It's not like you get paid for 4 days. You still get paid your regular payment, but you only have to work for 4 days. And they said they've seen no change. It's the same. And people are more excited to come to work and like a lot more energetic because
so morale's
get 3 days
gone
off.
Up and everything else has stayed the same.
Yep. And also, if you don't want to take your 4 days off, if you don't want to only work 4 days, you can work your five, but you're allowed to leave heaps early. Like, because they're asking.
They essentially give you a day throughout the week.
Exactly. So they're saying
I'd nearly take that option.
You
get to leave at like midday every day to up for the extra day that you're not taking off.
They're saying you need to work 4 8-hour days. All right. Or you can like leave it midday. If you leave ages away and traffic's hectic when you're getting home, you could leave before traffic and stuff like that. They're saying nothing has changed and they're going to keep doing this. It's incredible.
Well, look, the unfortunate thing about this for you and I, selfishly, is that we would be the last business to change.
Of course, absolutely.
Because we are supposed to wake up with people who are going to work.
Yeah, we're meant to help people.
As long as there are a few businesses holding out on the five-day work week, you and I will be here 5 days a week going, hey, guys,
imagine,
it's now just two companies in Canberra who have not gone to the four-day week and us.
Imagine this, though. Imagine every company goes there and there's just one guy who's like, you know what, I want to work the 5 days. So for on Monday, it's just you, me, and him, and we're talking stuff. Now, Gary, how's it?
We might as well just get in Gary's car with a UE boom and just play some music for him on the way to work. Gary, take the 4 days. We want the 4 days.
Why are you making us
do this,
mate?
Being selfish, Gary. Every business in Canberra, implement this immediately. This is a great idea.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.